Blog Talk Radio.
Mode One.
I want to rock with you.
You are now listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
If you are familiar with what is known as the pickup artist community, or the attraction and seduction industry, or what many men simply refer to as the seduction community, you probably know by now that there are generally two main schools of thought and philosophy that are promoted by various dating coaches and seduction guru. One would be what is known as the indirect approach, and the other would be known as the direct approach. What is the primary difference between the two approaches? I will get into more detailed descriptions of the differences between the two, but if I had to give the gist of each approach in this intro, an indirect approach is when you do not want to make it too quickly known to a woman that you are pursuing her for sexual companionship. You first want to let a woman know that you are a fun, entertaining, and flattering person to be around, and that you know how to make a woman feel comfortable in your presence. The direct approach is more suited for men who have no problem letting women know immediately that their primary motivation for approaching the woman in the first place and initiating a conversation with her is to ultimately get her to agree to have sex with him. Sort of like how you would approach a call girl or an erotic escort, only without the monetary proposition. Tonight, I'm going to have an in-depth discussion and debate about which approach is more advantageous for your goals and objectives. Is it the direct approach, or is it a more indirect approach? If you are a single heterosexual man looking to have success with women, this is one episode that you do not want to ignore. The call-in number is 646-478-5710. So write that number down so at some point during this conversation and discussion, you can call into my show to gain your opportunity to get upfront and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this A. Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God,
you're really good at this.
I gotta ask you,
do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy, and I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman, but the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, Mode One. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode One, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, July 12th, and tonight I'm going to engage in a discussion that tends to cause a lot of debate, sometimes some very heated arguments. First of all, in order to even understand a discussion tonight, you would have to be familiar with what is known as the pickup artist industry, or some people call it the attraction and seduction community, or for short, just the seduction community. So you have to be familiar with that. And then if you're already familiar with the attraction and seduction community, you'll know that within there, there's generally two factions or schools of thought within the seduction community. There's one school of thought that represents, that emphasizes and encourages what's known as the direct approach. And then there's another school of thought that emphasizes and encourages what is known as the indirect approach. And you basically have three types of guys who are followers in the seduction community. You have one group of guys that exclusively just use the indirect approach. You have another group of guys that exclusively just use the direct approach. And then you have probably a certain percentage of guys that kind of vacillate between the two. They kind of go back and forth between using the direct approach and the indirect approach. Me personally, I think anybody who follow me and follow my books knows I'm primarily all about the direct approach. I don't really, there might be 1 or 2% of the time over the past few years that I've used an indirect approach, but I'm all about the direct approach. I think the last time I had a discussion related to this was actually just about 2 or 3 weeks ago when I had Justin Wayne on here. When I had Justin Wayne, he would be an example of a guy who kind of fluctuates between the two. He said roughly 2/3 of the time he's about the direct approach, and about 1/3 of the time he tends to go with the indirect approach. And a lot of his followers said the same thing. A lot of his followers, they kind of incorporate both into their repertoire, the direct approach and the indirect approach. I don't have any particular guests here tonight. This is what is known as my open forum discussion format. About 85 to 90% of my episodes, I usually have an invited guest. It's usually some type of book author or dating relationship expert. And then about 10 to 15% of my episodes fall into this format, what I call the open discussion format. And with that format, it is heavily dependent on my listeners. So I'm going to put a lot of pressure on you, the listener. The open forum discussion format cannot, progress as a conversation if I don't have anybody who calls in. So basically, for the rest of the night, I want you to call in and either express an agreement with something I say, or express a strong disagreement with something I say. That's what I like on this show. I either like strong agreements or strong disagreements. That's what makes for a great conversation, is strong opinions. I don't like mild or waffle, on the fence, wishy-washy type opinions and comments. That I don't know. I don't like that. Throughout the course of this show, I'm going to be depending on you, the listeners, and I will say more specifically, my male listeners. But if I have some female listeners listening tonight, you can chime in too. I don't have a problem with you chiming in too. But this show is mainly for the fellas. I love all my listeners. I love all my listeners. But, of course, I have much love for my regular, loyal chat room listeners That's right. I see a few in my chat room right now. I don't see my number one most loyal listener, Adrian, but she already told me she's had some adversity going on with her family, so she hasn't been here actually the last 2 weeks, and she gets a pass because, yeah, she has some family illness to deal with. But I see my new good friend, Berlarco Benerje, is in my chat room. I see Jiggy79 in my chat room. I see LeBroy. I actually have a frat brother named LeBroy. I see LeBroy in my chat room. I see Smarten Up in my chat room. Smarten Up in my chat room. I see 48642 in my chat room. In my chat room. That's right. Jiggy79 in my chat room. Oh, I think I already said Jiggy79. I got a couple guests. So welcome to tonight. 48642, you asked, what is the subject? The subject today is an open forum discussion about which is more advantageous and beneficial to your goals and objectives when it comes to interacting with women, the direct approach or the indirect approach? The direct approach or the indirect approach? Stan, 14057444444. What's up, Stan Mo1? I see the sales professional in my chat room. I see a few guests coming in my chat room. What up? Yes, indeed. Other shout-outs would be my older brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry. Stephen Curry. My younger cousins, J.P. Jones in Chicago. At the Ball in Maplewood, New Jersey. Christopher Curry in Detroit. Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin. The Pulliam the third, EVP3, a.k.a. Match One. That's right, from Seattle, Washington, in the house. He's always listening to my show in my phone queue. Good friend of mine since childhood. Other shout-outs to be my female supporters from my Facebook female supporters group. Much love to you. Much love to you. Yes, and Edie Lee Harris, Vanessa Turner, Alexandra Atkins, Suzette, she knows who she is. Yes, a lot of my good friends and supporters and listeners. Metal Hayes, I don't see him in my chat room, but I always like to give No Head, a.k.a. Metal Hayes, a lot of props. Kobe Bryant said he thinks the 2012 NBA Olympic team could beat the 1992 NBA Olympic team. And right after he expressed that opinion, Mike Krzyzewski and the NBA demanded that he be drug tested and make sure he's not snorting crack cocaine, not using heroin, not using any type of drugs of any sort. And, so the Lakers organization, they're worried about Kobe. They think he might be on the verge of alcoholism for making such a statement. You know what my opinion is. Now, I'm a little biased because the guys on the 92 team are more, you know, towards my age group. So I'm sure young people would probably lean towards the younger group. But, man, come on, man. They would get slaughtered. They would get slaughtered. The 92 team versus the 2012 team. Man, come on. Come on. They would get slaughtered. It wouldn't even be a contest. Now, if they played, say, 10 games, I think the 2012 team could win one. I think they could win one. So it ain't like I think the 1992 team would just beat them, like, you know, 15 games straight. But, you know, if it was like a championship game and it was one game for all the marbles, no. No, they would not beat the 1992 Dream Team. Oh, what's up, Gia? I thought that might have been you, man. What's up, my friend LeBroy in the chat room? What's up,
Stephen LeBroy. Noop, noop, yo, yo. What's happening? Good to see you in here. I see Crystal Dion is in my chat room. She's trying to join the fellas, listen to our inner secrets. This is a show for the fellas. She's sneaking on in here, listening with the fellas. I see Atlanta Boss in the chat room, ATL Boss. I see Aaron 2213, ATL Boss and Aaron 2213. Welcome, welcome, welcome to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. I just watched this show I never heard about called The Choice. Anybody ever heard of the Fox show called The Choice? I never heard of this show, but it turns out a guy I went to high school with named Jeff Hale, his daughter was on this show tonight. Her name is Ashley. Yeah, and so it was interesting. It's kind of like they match make women with the guys on the show. And yeah, it was an interesting show. It was very, very interesting. And it's called The Choice. I got a kick out of watching that show. Anyway, I want to get this discussion started, so I'm going to take an intermission break. But when I get back, the call-in number, wait, before I go on intermission. ATL Boss, he done start snorting some crack cocaine. He said he thinks the 2008 and the 2012 team will beat the 1992 team. Okay, man, go get drug tested right now. Go get drug tested right now, because I want all my listeners to be drug-free. They got to be drug-free.
Alan, you stupid.
No, man. See, that's what Kobe tried to argue, that they were more athletic than the 92 team. That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Who was non-athletic on the 92 team other than Larry Bird and Christian Laettner? That's the only two guys on the 92 team that you could say arguably were not athletic. Everybody else was athletic. Jordan was athletic. John Stockton was athletic. Karl Malone was athletic. Charles Barkley was athletic. David Robinson was athletic. Patrick Ewing was athletic. Chris Mullins, he was so athletic, but he could shoot the lights out. Shoot, it ain't a person on the 2012 team could shoot like Chris Mullins. Come on, man. Come on. Magic Johnson? Ain't a person on the 2008-2012 team could pass better than Magic Johnson. He's arguably the best passer in the game. Man, no way. Now, again, I'm not saying they were just dust. The 2008 or 2012 team, I don't think they would beat them like, 110 to, 75 or nothing like that. So I don't think they would just dust them. I think it would be some competitive games. And like I said earlier, I think the 2008 or 2012 team could probably win one or two games if they played a lot of games. Like if they played 15 games, I think the 2008 or 2012 team could probably win 2, 3, maybe even 4 games out of 15. But if it was a one game for all the marbles, no, they would lose. They would lose. Kobe couldn't check Jordan in his prime. He would not be able to check Jordan in his prime. So anyway, that's my opinion. Of course, with things like this, we all have our opinions, because that game could never really happen, so it's going to always be an opinion. But anyway, I will be right back after this intermission, and please call in once I get started, because like I said, I don't have any guests on the show, so I'm going to depend a lot on my listeners. If you call in, the number is 646-478-5710, and press the number 1. That lets me know that you want to talk. All right, I'll be right back.
Can you feel the tension? You know what's coming up next, don't you? You all know what's coming up next. So, what can I tell you? I'm excited. I'm standing backstage and I'm all jittery. It's the moment we've all been waiting for. What can I tell you? I read this guy's book about 2 years ago, and this is some of the most powerful shit I've read. The guy's mind-blowing. He's got a radio show. He's been all over the place. He's got crazy fans. He's amazing at what he does. He loves helping people as well. This guy will go on for hours and hours, even if it's like one person or 100 people. He doesn't give a shit. He'll stand there and he'll help people and help them and help them and just keep it. And he loves this stuff. He's passionate about it. He changed my life. He's changing everybody's life in the room and thousands of people. And he's amazing. I'm really happy. I consider him one of my mentors. I love the guy. Please go crazy for Alan Roger Curry.
To know what you said to the Japanese girl on roller skates.
I went up to her. I said, "You got a talent for this rollerblading thing." And that was probably the only moment when she was smiling. She was like, "Yes, I love to rollerblade." I said, "Well, to be quite frank with you, I ain't give a fuck about rollerblading." I said, "Your ass looks so juicy in that, what is that, spandex?" And she was like, "Oh my God, I mean, would you just come to Venice Beach to just look at women's asses?" I was like, "Is that a trick question?"
Please visit www.modeone.net for more information on the Direct Approach Dating Summit 2010 DVD. Are you an expert and or book author who offers men and women products and services related to dating and relationships? If you have a new product, a valuable service, or upcoming event or speaking presentation that you would like to advertise on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network that is guaranteed to hit your target demographic audience, then look no further than Blog Talk Radio's number one talk radio podcast program for active dating singles. Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry has had more episodes ranked number one in the category of romance, dating and relationships, love and sex, and overall self-help for singles than any other talk radio podcast program on the entire Blog Talk Radio network since January of 2008. I will help you advertise any product, service, or event that is designed to help men and women improve their love lives, sex lives, and overall social lives. Please write me at Blog Talk Radio Advertising at mode1.net. That's MODEONE.net. Don't wait. Do it now.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. What is up? What is up? Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. If you're just tuning in tonight, what we're going to be talking about, first of all, this is going to be what I call an open forum discussion format. And what that means is I don't have any type of dating expert or book author or particular, you know, expert here. My conversation is going to really depend on you, the listener. You, the listener, is going to be the basis for my conversation. And if you want to know what we're talking about, now this conversation is primarily for the fellas. I see at least one female. She's a good friend of mine. She's in the chat room, Crystal. So she's sneaking and listening to the men chop it up. But this is mainly for the single fellas. Single fellas. If you're familiar with what's known as the pickup artist community or the attraction and seduction industry, or what most people call simply the seduction community, over the years there's basically developed two factions. One is what's known as the direct game faction. Those dating coaches and seduction gurus who emphasize what's known as the direct approach. Then you have other dating coaches and seduction gurus who emphasize the indirect approach. Now, both people, both groups believe their, you know, their philosophy or their approach is the best. And that's one of the reasons I wanted to discuss it. And to give you my definition, now everybody has different definitions, I'm sure. I'm going to give you my definition of each one. A direct approach is when you approach a woman and you immediately and straightforwardly let her know, number one, what motivated you to approach her in the first place. So say you had a social event, a party, or just walking down the street, you see a woman, and I don't know, let's say she got a nice ass, or she got a pretty smile, or she got pretty hair, or pretty eyes, and that makes you want to approach her. If you went up to that woman and said, hey, how you doing? I couldn't help but to stop you because you have such gorgeous eyes, or you got a nice ass, or you got a pretty smile. You were upfront about why you stopped her, why you approached her. That would be part one of being direct. Part two would be letting that woman know why you are interested in potentially sharing her company in the future, you know, which usually boils down to sex. It could be long-term sex, short-term sex, monogamous sex, non-monogamous sex, but you want to let her know why you want to share her company. So that's my definition of a direct approach, is when you approach a woman, you let her know why you approached her, and you let her know why you want to spend time with her in the near or distant future. An indirect approach is when your first objective when approaching a woman is more so about letting her know that you're a good guy, letting her know that you're a nice guy, that you're not going to harm her, that you're fun to be around, that you're an entertaining, flattering type of guy. And so your first objective is not so much letting that woman know why you approached her, but you want to know her, you want to try to make her feel comfortable in your presence. And to one degree or another, you actually want to camouflage your desires, interests, and intentions when you're using the indirect approach. You don't really want a woman to necessarily know why you approached her or why you want to share her company. Because first of all, you want to know what her interests are so you can potentially adapt and adjust your interests to her interests. For example, let's say you saw a woman and your first thought was you want to have casual sex with her. But her interest might be that she wants a long-term monogamous relationship. So when you use an indirect approach, you would try to have a conversation with her where you find out where her head is, and then say she tells you that she's looking for a long-term monogamous relationship, you just basically adjust your interest to her interest. You say, that's what I'm looking for too. You know? So yeah, that's the indirect approach. Is, yeah, you are not specific, honest, or straightforward about why you approached a woman, nor are you very specific, honest, and or straightforward about why you really want to share that woman's company in the near future. That's the indirect. A lot of people go for the direct. A lot of people go for the indirect. Some guys, they tend to kind of fluctuate between the two. Like, again, when I had the interview with Justin Wayne, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago, he was the guy that was in that category. He was neither totally direct or totally indirect. He basically said he uses both. He said he's direct roughly two-thirds of the time, and he's indirect roughly one-third of the time. And that's what a lot of his followers ended up saying, too, that they kind of are direct some of the time, and they're indirect other times. So what I want to discuss today is, why do you think one approach is better than the other? Some of your specific reasons why you think one approach is better than the other. And yeah, I want to hear your opinions. So I see a couple of callers in my phone queue who are ready to talk. I'll start with area code 917. 917, you are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Who is this?
Alan, fuck indirect.
Ha! This sounds like Sasha Nege.
You goddamn right,
up,
Sasha.
Man?
How you doing, bro?
I am doing okay. Listeners, you should know this voice. This is Sasha Daygame, the chief organizer of the Direct Dating Summit.
I like how for the first time in your entire career, you actually said it the correct way. That's amazing.
Yeah, because listeners always call it the Direct Approach Dating Summit. And he drops the approach and just calls it the Direct Dating. And I have to admit, it does flow better without the approach. But yeah, 90% of the time I tend to refer to it as the Direct Approach Dating Summit. I always talk about the direct approach. So, Sasha, since you are a man who organized a whole event around the idea of being direct, first of all, I'm going to ask you a few questions. My first question would be, you've heard my definitions. What do you agree or disagree with my definitions of each one?
I'm pretty much with you. I think the way I've been describing it recently, just to really simplify it for people, is this. As long as you're not on purposefully, as long as you're not purposefully hiding your intention, then I believe you're being direct. So as an example, because people have this idea like you have to come up to a girl and you got to be like, oh, you so sexy, I want to fuck you and all this kind of shit. And that's not true. If you come up to a girl and you genuinely say what's on your mind, what you're feeling, and you're basically showing her what you believe your intentions are, then you're being authentic and you're being direct. So, for example, if you look at a girl and you say, you know what, you genuinely think, you know what, this is the best dressed girl you've ever seen. You think this is a fucking girl who's dressing amazing. She might have a really confident walk. And you might approach her and say, you know what, you got a really confident walk. You're dressed really well. And you know what, you got my attention. I want to meet you. Is that indirect? No. You said what was on your mind. You were being real. That's totally fine. So just like you see a girl, she's hot, you tell her she's hot, it's authentic. It's only not authentic and fake and indirect to me if you know exactly what you're thinking. Example, let's say I'm a stomach man. You know me. I love a flat, nice stomach on a girl. If I see a flat stomach and that shit turns me on, I'm like, God damn, look, I just want to eat that stomach. And I come up there and I go, hey, I noticed, you've got a really, really nice outfit there. You know, you're really dressed up. Then I'm being a fucking indirect pussy because I'm not saying what's on my mind. I'm not being real. So as long as you're saying exactly what you're thinking, then you're totally being direct. And for me, that's my definition. It's very simple. If you're not trying to hide your true feelings and intentions, that's cool. You're being direct.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much in line with what I tell men and teach men. Okay, I guess my second question, since this is an open discussion about both, I'm not going to bash indirect, even though I favor direct. Is there, based on your experience, do you feel like there might be one situation, two situations, or any situation where you think being indirect is equally or advantageous or even more advantageous than being direct?
Yes, there are, and it's extremely rare. The only situation I would on purpose be indirect is this one. It's where there's people in a public place, basically. For example, the underground or like a subway or a bus where there's people around. It's because women are awkward with social pressure. So if I come up to a girl and there's like 20 people standing around, I'm like, damn, girl, you look so fine, blah, blah, blah. She, even though she might like me, she's going to feel uncomfortable because there's all these people around and she's worried about them and blah, 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 blah. So all I would do if a girl's, you know, say, you know, on a subway or something, I'd just come up and I would just start a normal social conversation. I'd be social. I'd be like, hey, what book are you reading? Is it any good? Or I'd be like, hey, what are you listening to? Let me hear. And as soon as she says, oh, yeah, I'm listening to this band, blah, 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 15, 20 seconds in, I'd be like, you know, I've got to be honest. Yeah, I don't care what you're listening to. I'm speaking to you because you're fucking gorgeous. But then it's okay. But it's just that initial approach being like, hey, you're so beautiful, blah, blah, blah. She's just going to be like, how is this guy going to be talking to me the whole time? I'm trying to get somewhere on a bus. It's awkward. There's people around. So only in that situation would I just literally for 20 seconds start a social conversation, and I would immediately say, to be honest, sweetie, you're fucking beautiful, and that's why I'm talking to you. So even in that situation, I wouldn't be indirect for more than 30 seconds tops.
Okay.
But that's just in my experience. Women just get uncomfortable in that situation. That's all.
Well, what you just described, as most people listening, now some of you listeners might not be familiar with my book. I think a lot of you are. And for those who are, you know I have four modes of behavior, mode one, mode two, mode three, and mode four. And I would say for the purposes of direct versus indirect, two of those modes fall into indirect. One, I'm not too harshly critical of, although I have still my share of criticisms of, and one I'm very harshly critical of. I'll start with the one I'm most critical of, and that would be mode three. Mode three is when a guy is just a blatant, one of two things. You're either a blatant coward or you're a blatant liar. For example, if you're the type that just goes to a party, nightclub, whatever, and you just stand against a wall or sit on the couch staring at beautiful women, but you never make not one attempt to approach that woman, that would be what I call mode three. Another version of mode three would be if you approach the woman and say you wanted to date that woman, but you give her the impression you just want to be platonic friends, or you want to have casual sex, but you give that woman the impression that you want a long-term monogamous relationship. See, that's being totally dishonest and misleading. That would be mode three behavior, and I never endorse that at all under no circumstances. Mode two is a behavior that I still don't think is as effective as mode one, but similar to what Sasha just talked about, there are actually a handful of situations where I do endorse a mode two. Mode two is when you're still honest, like mode one, but you incorporate a little more small talk in your conversation. And if there's one time I have told guys that it's okay to be mode two is when you're in a group situation. Like, say, a woman, you want to approach a woman, but she's with three or four or five of her girlfriends. That would be a situation where I would say, it's okay to, say, talk to that woman about some bullshit for about 5 minutes or maybe even 10 minutes or so. And then until you're able to pull her away from the group and talk to her one-on-one, and then you can become more direct. Let's hear from listeners. Listeners, if you want to call in, if you have either strong opinions in favor of direct, strong opinions against direct, strong opinions in favor of indirect, strong opinions against indirect, I want to hear from you. 646-478-5710. I see one of my chat room listeners and new good friends in on my phone queue, and that would be Berlarco 617-617. Berlarco, what's up?
Hey, Alan, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing just fine. I'm staying cool in this hot weather in the Chicagoland area. Now, I think it would almost be phony of me to ask you which you favor, because I think I know what you favor. So knowing what you favor, which is a direct approach, let me ask you, if you've been indirect in your life, what has been some of your maybe positive experiences, the times when you were indirect, and what has been some of your more disappointing and frustrating experiences being indirect with women?
Well, I have had no positive experience as being indirect. None whatsoever.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, being direct at least makes me feel like I have balls. But before like I go through the whole topic, I think it would be like really nice for the listeners to know like a little bit of history about direct versus indirect, if like that's cool. What used to happen in the seduction community is that it used to be like people used to learn a bunch of scripted language and just go and say all those scripted jokes and scripted stories to girls and try to basically indirectly influence them to have sex with them. Now, what happened, like... Yeah, you were saying something?
No, go ahead. I want you to finish and then I'll jump in.
Yeah. What happened, I think around 8 to 10 years ago, was there was a guy named Woodheaven who now goes by the name of Vindy Carlo. He actually like wrote an article about he was bashing the whole scripted game, and he said, "I'm gonna start the direct method," and he said that I'm not gonna use scripts. But the problem was that all these gurus who followed that were basically not using scripted, but they were still being indirect because they were trying to be good dancers and good physical escalators. So that they used to call themselves direct because they were not using script, but they are still indirect in reality.
Well, you bring up a good point, and it's Sasha, since he's on the line, he knows about it because me and him honestly have had some, I would say, discussions/debates about, because there's some people out here who are indirect, but they will fancy themselves as direct. And I think when you start talking about scripted versus unscripted, then you get more into the concept of what's known as being natural. Like, I'm sure you've heard a lot of people say they're a natural game. That's when I think of unscripted, meaning that you don't approach a woman with any pre-rehearsed lines, any memorized lines, any scripts. That means you have natural game. You can have a spontaneous, organic conversation. But that's not to be confused or be thought of as synonymous with direct, because you can be natural and be both. You can be naturally indirect, and you can be naturally direct. Like, I would call myself, I'm naturally direct. I don't memorize shit before I approach a woman. I'm very organic in my conversation, but I'm very direct. But I know guys who are naturally indirect. They can naturally engage women in small talk without some kind of pre-rehearsed script or whatever. So natural is not synonymous with direct. Natural is just, I again would define that as a more spontaneous, organic style of conversation. And there was something else, and now I lost my train of thought. You said something else that I wanted, but yeah, I'll say a few things, and I'm gonna let Sasha talk because you talk about the history of, say, indirect versus direct. Sasha has probably been one of the number one guys in the community that's kind of hung around, I guess, and you could say an arguably equal number of both, even though I think there's far more indirect people in the seduction community than there are direct. But he was one of Mystery's first wingman, and I would like to consider Mystery as the, I don't know if I would say he was the creator. He was far from the creator of indirect, but he made a more indirect style pretty popular.
I would have to say Ross Jeffries is the founder of
Ross Jeffries is one of the early pioneers of more indirect game. So, Sasha, I'll let you speak. When you hung around people like a Mystery and maybe one or two other guys you hung around with, what did you observe as some pros, maybe, to their indirect styles and some major disadvantages to their indirect styles?
Good question. Alan, honestly, I've been thinking about this a lot recently, and your question goes right along with what I've been thinking about. The major con is the one con that trumps everything else, and it's this. Whether you're getting laid or not doing indirect, it doesn't even matter. You are not being yourself. You're not being real. You're not being who you are. You're not developing yourself as a man. You're not developing your balls, your integrity, nothing. You're literally living a fake, imaginary life as an absolute pussy because you're too scared to figure out who you really are. You're too scared to connect with yourself, your sexual intent, your fucking balls. You're too much of a pussy. So you go and you learn a bunch of tricks to try and impress women and trick them and make them think that you're cooler than you really are. But they always figure it out. They always figure out that you're not that guy, that you're full of shit, and you end up jerking off in the fucking corner. That's the problem with indirect. You're not developing yourself as a man. It doesn't – guys say, well, yeah, but maybe you'll get more – no, you'll never get more sex. And even if you get more sex, you'll feel like a piece of shit because you're not even – it's not even you getting the sex. It's ridiculous. If you told me you get 1,000 times more sex with the hottest girls in the world doing indirect, I'd still say, I don't want it. I'd rather have the less sex and be myself and develop my fucking balls. None of the other flaws make any difference. Who gives a shit about anything? You're being absolutely fake. And that's the key. And that's what I felt when I was hanging out with Mystery. He was doing all this stuff and it just didn't feel real. I remember saying to him at one point, dude, we should just be able to talk to women and just be ourselves and have fun and meet them. And he's like, no, fuck that. We're going to do magic. And it was like a joke. And I'm so shocked that people are still considering doing magic or doing anything at all other than just becoming comfortable with expressing themselves and their desires. It's shocking to me, and I don't understand it. And I think I'm hoping one day people will just wake up and go like, oh my God, this is all a bunch of horse shit, you know, but who knows?
Wow. Sasha, I've known you for a while now. I've heard you express yourself. I have to rank that in your top two, top three strongest hardcore commentary I've ever heard, actually. And I applaud you, brother. I couldn't have said anything you said any different or any better, because pretty much everything you said echoes just how I feel. Just how I feel. And guys who've been clients of mine, friends of mine, associates of mine, know that I've expressed many of the sentiments that Sasha just expressed. Matter of fact, guys, if you were listening just two or three weeks ago when I was talking to Justin Wayne, that relates to one of his followers. Balarco, matter of fact, you were listening to that show when I interviewed Justin Wayne, right?
Yeah, I called in.
You remember his follower, Michael, is a classic example of something Sasha just said. Sasha said, if you fake and phony and disingenuous, yeah, you might get a lot of pussy, but you're never going to feel good about it because deep down you know you're not being your real self. And what I found interesting was that follower, Justin, and I'm not trying to disparage Justin, but he had a follower that called in named Michael, and me and him actually ended up getting into it a little bit on Justin Wayne's blog. But he said he had approached something like 1,400 women in like a 6 to 12 month period, and he had slept with 30 women in an 18-month period. Now, you would think if he was being his genuine self and he slept with 30 women, he would be excited about that. That would be something that would bring him gratification and satisfaction. But he admitted on this show that he was depressed. And this is where we start getting into it, because I said, why would you be depressed if you slept with 30 women? That didn't make sense to me. Why would you be depressed if you was approaching the number of women that you I would believe you would want to approach? And then somebody wrote me on Twitter who listened to that episode. They said one of Mysteries? I don't want to misquote. Some associate of a major pickup artist, I think it was Mystery, but I'm not 100% sure, so I don't want to misquote, said that somebody admitted that they became suicidal. Even though they was approaching a lot of women and getting a lot of pussy, they became suicidal because, again, of what Sasha was talking about, they realized that they were engaging in all these manipulative head games with women, that they weren't really being their true self, and they were basically, you know, using psychological gimmicks to trick women in bed. And it caught up with this guy.
Alan, you know what it is, Alan? It's so simple. I had this huge epiphany in the last couple of days. I'm going to try and explain it right now because I think people will really appreciate it. But just very quickly before I get to that, the attitude, it doesn't matter whether you're doing magic, being too funny, which is my thing. I'm too funny a lot of the time. But it doesn't matter whether you're talking about how much money you make or your nice, shiny, new fucking Mercedes. You're trying to impress women to win them over because fundamentally you do not believe that you are worthy of the pussy. You do not believe your dick is worthy of vagina, and you're trying to impress her. And that mindset, no matter how good you get at any of that bullshit, they will always sense that you believe yourself you're lower than they are, and they will never respect you, and you will never get the girls you really want because they know you're a little fucking insect trying to dangle your little magical fucking carrot to get them, okay? And it's never going to work. And the problem is when you try and work on your little magical carrot, you're not working on yourself. And if you're not working on yourself and really becoming comfortable with you and your masculinity, you're never going to get the girls that you really want. You're never going to get that fucking goddess who's amazing and smart and wonderful that you're going to fucking love and eventually get fucking babies with. That's never going to happen. And that's the fucking dark path. That's why indirect is literally, to me, an evil fucking path that destroys men, because it's keeping you from finding out who the fuck you really are and connecting yourself with essentially your life's purpose, which is to be a fucking man and to live like one.
Somebody in my chat room, Mystical. Hey, Mystical, how you doing, matter of fact? Man, he said, preach. So I said, man, I got to tell you, man, I'm really impressed with you tonight, man. I mean, you always, for the most part, been a direct type of guy. Otherwise, you wouldn't, of course, started the Direct Dating Summit. But I've never quite heard you this passionate and hardcore about direct, man.
Alan, listen, I got to tell you something. I've been going through a real fucking shift in my understanding, and I'm going to be talking about this a lot coming up. But, dude, I've come to a new level in my game and my understanding of myself and who I am and all this kind of shit that just destroys where I was at before. So I got to, and this involves you directly. I remember when you saw my video, remember my 23-minute video when I'm going around and I'm hitting, you know, I'm telling girls they're hot and stuff, but I'm sort of being funny and stuff. And you, I remember you commented like, yeah, is that really direct? And I was angry. I'm like, of course it's direct, Alan. What's the matter with you? And I was defensive. With my new understanding now, honestly, that video was a great representation of where I was at the time, which was comfortable enough to approach beautiful girls, joke around, have fun, and express my desires in them. But it wasn't truly direct. It was more of just like, hey, I'm having fun. I'm hitting on girls. It's cool. It was showing guys, hey, you can be free. You can have fun with women, and you can approach them without being creepy or weird and doing all this other bullshit. And that has a power, and that's wonderful. But what I've realized now is when you joke, again, I'm doing exactly – it's the same as doing magic or talking about your fancy new car. I'm trying to impress women by how funny I am. I'm trying to impress them, Alan, and that is not the way forward. It's okay – like you always said from the beginning, it's okay to be clever here and there. Make a witty comment. There's nothing wrong with that. But when you go in there and you're on purpose trying to be funny, you're trying to impress. You're coming from a lower place. You're showing girls that you are not really on their level, and I get that now. And my whole game has changed, and I'm able to literally walk up to women now, look them in the eye, look them up and down, and say, you are fucking sexy. You and me got to get together. And I look at them, Alan. I don't have to say shit. They know exactly what I'm thinking. I did this today to a girl, this American girl. I said, listen, you know, we're going to meet up. And she's like, okay. She goes to put her number in my phone, but she just didn't get it. And I said, no, wait a second. And she looked at me, and I just stared at her. I just stared at her. I said, no, you don't get it. You and me have to hang out. And I just stared at her, and then I said, you and me are going to have a lot of fun together. And I just fucking stared at her, thinking, I'm just going to bang the shit out of her. And then I could see it. She got it. She went, oh, yeah, we are going to have fun together. And I said, yeah, now put my number in your phone. And that was it. And she got that. Okay, and this is the fucking secret, dude. It's when you connect with being 100% okay with your sexuality, who you are, the fact that you're a man, that you want to fuck, that you're comfortable with it, and you project that to a woman, that's all there is, Alan. There's no flakes. There's no bullshit. There's no head games. All of it goes out the window. You're a man. She's a woman. You make it clear you want to fuck the shit out of her. She either wants it or she doesn't want it. Everything else is fucking bullshit.
Talking about. Give it up,
Sasha. Sasha's in form, man. Sasha's in form.
Man, he's bringing the A-plus motherfucking hardcore shit, and I love it. Listeners, dude, if you want to add into this discussion, 646-478-5710. I'm going to take a quick intermission break where you actually will hear Sasha's commercial from his website, which I love the background music and the way you got to see it on his website. It's just really entertaining. But anyway, I will be right back in about 5-6 minutes. Don't go anywhere. I will be right back.
You're about to enter into the erotic zone with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, the king of verbal seduction. This is the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Diana DeVoe, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Layla Odom, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Bella.
And this is Charlie.
And we're dancers from the legendary Score Strip Club in New York City. And you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Alexandra Cunahakis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
So I'm getting treated for my sex disease.
This is Nikki True, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Ambrosia Cumming, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
This is Brandy L. Davis, and you're listening to Alan Roger Curry, a.k.a. the king of verbal seduction, right here on the Erotic Conversationalist.
Episodes of the Erotic Conversationalist are available as a downloadable MP3 file from www.mode1.com.
All right, I'm going to go with my next caller, area code 310-310. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your question or comment?
I used to date lots of women, both in high school and in college and in medical school, and people used to always ask me, you're not the best looking guy, you're not the richest guy out there, how are you getting all these women? And essentially the answer is actually quite simple. It's essentially having the confidence and knowing what you want to do.
Oh, thank you, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, Master Allen.
Ooh, say that again.
Yes, sir, Master Allen.
I like that.
Hey, buddy, thank you so much for having me. That is easily the nicest introduction that I've ever had.
Seducing sexy ladies. Here's the deal.
My name's Sasha. Hello. And I like women.
Hey, everybody. Hey, everybody.
This website has tons of resources to help you guys get that success that you want. It's all there for you. The articles, the videos, my blog, the lots of adventures and tips, it's all there for you guys.
Let's make the magic happen.
If you're interested in some more intense training, take one of my boot camps. They are fucking good. I'll be honest with you guys. I'm doing boot camps all around the world, so I might be coming to your city.
I would love to come over there and teach you this stuff because it's awesome. And you learn how to meet tons of hot girls.
If you're in London, this is the guy. He's going to take good care of you.
He's really present in the moment. He's really good. He hooks up with tons of girls. Good teacher and just somebody you want to hang out with and learn from.
Oh, so many names.
It's my first name and my sister.
Okay. Well, I will see you.
You will?
Ryan.
Ryan. Me too.
Over the last few years, I've dedicated my life to getting good in a sort of fun and natural way of meeting women in the daytime.
What are you doing actually in your free time? What's your goal?
I meet beautiful girls on the street. You know, chat girls on the street. Sound test? Sound test 1, 2, 3, 4. Sexy man. Hi. Can I get a little fist action? We're filming. I just want a little fist. Just come on. You know you want to. You know you want to fist me right now. Boom shakalaka.
Yeah. Check out the boot camp stage if you're interested in that.
I hope you enjoyed it. I hope it's useful to you. So please.
Sasha@sashapway.com. Thanks for coming to the site and
stop being a fucking. Just what? I mean, come on, people. She's there in front of you. That's the only indicator of interest you need. She's there. You're there. Go for it.
Please pay a visit to www.sashapua.com.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion about the direct approach versus the indirect approach on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This actually is my next to last episode of the 2011-2012 season. If you're a long-time listener of mine, you know that every year I go on hiatus between roughly mid-July and mid to late September. So, yeah, this is my next to last episode. Next week, unless I decide to change it, and there's a slight chance I might, but as of right now, next week's discussion will be about strong opinions in favor of E.L. James' popular bestseller, 50 Shades of Grey, or strong opinions against it. I don't know if you're familiar, but there's this erotica book by an author named E.L. James from London, or the UK. I don't know if she's specifically from London, but she's from the UK. She wrote a trilogy called 50 Shades of Grey, 50 Shades Darker, and 50 Shades Freed. This woman is making $1 million a week. A week, not a month, not a year. She makes $1 million a week from the sales of her books. That's how popular they are. And when I go on different message boards and people talk about it, most people either love her books or they hate them. There's really not too much in between. People who have read them have either loved them or they hated them. And that's currently my discussion for next week's season finale. But if I don't get the interest from the strong opinions that I want, I might end up modifying my topic of discussion, so I keep you posted via the internet. But that's next week. For tonight, if you're just tuning in, what we're talking about, if you're familiar with what's known as the pickup artist community or the attraction and seduction industry, or what some people just simply call the seduction community, there's, over the years, there's developed two primary schools of thought or schools of philosophy. One is emphasizes and encourages what is known as the direct approach. The direct approach with women. And other dating coaches and seduction gurus tend to emphasize methods and tactics that would represent more of an indirect approach. And what we're talking about tonight is, I want to hear from you listeners, particularly my single male listeners, about what approach tickles your fancy and is more conducive to your needs. If you've tried both, what do you think works better for you? I gave my definition. Sasha gave his definition. Oh, I want to mention, yeah, if you just tuned in, one of my special unbilled guests that has called in is the chief organizer of the Direct Dating Summit, which was pretty much, I want to say, the first summit that emphasized the direct philosophy and the direct approach. He's now had three of them. I was a featured speaker at two of the three. He had one in London, Las Vegas, and most recently in Melbourne, Australia. And he is on the line, and he was on fire with some hardcore comments. If you want to call in and express your opinion about direct versus indirect, the number is 646-478-5710. I'm going to go quickly back to Balarco. Balarco, you have anything you want to add?
Yeah, I have two very, very important things that I need to add.
Okay.
First thing that I want to add is that I personally hung out with one of the personal friends of Ross Jeffries, and he told me that Ross Jeffries has clinical depression for the past few years. And if you read Neil Strauss's book, The Game, even there, like, Mystery went through a phase of depression. Basically, what happens is when people are indirect and trying to lie or
before
bullshit.
I let you continue, Balarco, I never like for unsubstantiated rumors to be perpetuated on my show. So is this like fact? This is factual. This is not just some kind of casual rumor.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. If it's fact, I'll let it pass. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. So what happens is when somebody is totally indirect and trying to lie and bullshit to have sex, what happens is that when they do fall in love and when they do start liking a girl, they cannot keep them. Those girls eventually leave, and that leads to like depression. And what happens is when somebody is lying and bullshitting to get into a woman's pants, they are basically trying to adding to the burden of her being dishonest, and someday they're gonna get buried in that burden. Second thing I want to say very importantly is that something I believe, that if somebody is very physically attractive, goes to the gym, probably has a good body, probably is a good dancer, they might still get successful with indirect, but otherwise I think a guy has to be direct. And I'm going to explain why. You, Alan, have talked a lot about how the whole speed dating concept came. And there was this important research that you talked about that said that I think it was something like women have 3 to 8 minutes to decide whether she wants to sleep or date the guy. The thing is that if there is a guy who's attractive and the girl is already attracted, he has some time to beat around the bush. Because the girl is already attracted. Now, if you are a guy who she's not attracted to you, you basically have 180 seconds to change her opinion. Now, in 180 seconds, you can either bullshit, beat around the bush and never get a second chance, or you can be mode one and show her how big your balls are. And make her reconsider what she originally thought of you.
You know, it's funny you talk about the big balls. This is what a lot of people miss, honestly, about Mole One. A lot of people would come to me and ask me about my X-rated language, and they would think that was the number one key to getting a woman's pussy wet. And make no mistake, X-rated language does have a certain effect on women, and it can, just create an arousal in a woman. But more so than just erotically explicit language, it's really your big-ass balls that get women turned on. And
exactly.
See, when I say a lot of the stuff I've said to women in the past, it's like I can tell in their mind they're thinking that, damn, this guy has a lot of balls to say what he said to me, to approach me in the way that he did. And when you let women know that you're willing to go against some of the norms of society, some of the conventions of society, that what I call that faulty social programming, that says something to a woman, and it affects her genital area. But that's interesting what you said about what you've heard about Ross Jeffrey. Again, it goes back to what this guy said on my show 2 weeks ago, what Sasha was saying in his earlier comments.
Yeah.
I do believe, like one important point that Sasha said is that when you're being phony and disingenuous and basically trying to be a guy that you're not really are, at some point that's going to reveal itself, whether it's a few days later, a few weeks later, a few months later. That's going to reveal itself to a woman. Now, you might be able to get away with it if you're just engaging in a one-night stand or a weekend fling. But definitely anything longer, that's just your real self is going to come out. But, yeah, there are so many people that still go that route. Now, Sasha, since you're still on the line, I know you're busy and you're going to have to go soon, but was there anything Balarko said that you want to add to or further discuss?
No, I'm pretty sure, you know, we're on the same page.
Okay.
Hang on.
I see 765, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What's your first name?
Oh, my first name is Steven.
Steven, I think you've called him before, right?
Oh, yeah, brother. You guys are hilarious.
Okay. So what's your thoughts on the discussion so far?
I mean, you guys are right. I mean, it does take big balls. Because, see, my whole thing is men was here first, the foundation of the earth, men. So this idea that we're not worth the pussy, that has always started with me, you know. And, I mean, you know, from a child, I mean, women have approached me. I was just a lucky guy, you know. So it's just, you know, and then I go out and approach women. But you're right. You're definitely right about that, is that somehow they think that we're supposed to be intimidating. That's just not the case. You know, and I told this woman at the bar, I said, you know, I can have whatever woman I want. I looked at her dead in her eyes. And, man, her legs were shaking. The grown man came out, and she couldn't handle it. She was like, damn. Oh, damn. I saw my grandfather. Shit. He said, man, whatever woman he want. Damn, girl. Go tell your girlfriends about it. And so when the grown man comes out, them girls are running. They might look tough, they might be fine, they might be dime piece, the most finest women you ever see in the planet. You know, and boy, you bring that grown man out, they're going to be running and they're going to be hiding. They can't handle it. And that's the thing. And it's just our society has conditioned men to just think that we're just dogs and, you know, we're just no good and we don't deserve it. And that's just not true. So I commend the brother, man, the earlier caller, man. The guy.
You talking about Sasha?
Yes, Sasha had me on the floor laughing. I was dying. I had to call him down.
That shit wasn't funny, motherfucker. I'm being serious. The one time I'm not joking, this brother's cracking up. That's fucked up.
Well, you know, sometimes truth, bold truth, makes you laugh. I remember somebody had a quote about that. They said, you laugh at jokes that are funny, and you laugh at what's true. And I'm thinking that's what Steven is more so saying, because, brother, I'm here to tell you, you was breaking some shit down, dude. You was breaking some shit down. And so Steven, I appreciate you calling in, man. Thank you for continuing to listen to my show. And let me get you, before you go, to say, Mode One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Your love front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode One.
Alan
Alan Roger Curry.
Your love front is straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Thank you, Sasha, for that. That was one of my first back-to-back. I saw a few people come in my chat room. Let me give he was in here earlier. Stan 14057444 is in my chat room. I got Smarten Up in my chat room. I got the Outspoken Mystical in my chat room. What's up, Mystical? I got Lord Lust in my chat room. I got hometown friend and fraternity brother Stephen LeBroy in my chat room. I got a woman. She's sneaking and listening to the men chop it up about approaching women. Crystal Dion. Crystal Dion's in my chat room. I got Jiggy 79 in my chat room. It looks like my cousin, my younger cousin, J.P. Jones from Chicago. J-Rock is in my chat room. A number of guests in my chat room. I got Drummer Lars in my chat room. Drummer Lars. I got Balarco Benarze, who you just heard from earlier on the phone, in my chat room. And Aaron 2213. I see Liberal. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. What do you want to contribute to the conversation?
Hey, Alan, family, how are you?
What's happening? I'm good. How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. I have to say, when we're talking indirect versus direct, it is two different things. Perfect example, last week, I went indirect with a woman because, let's say, I went with my fear, spent time with a woman, had the small talk, did everything, she was looking into me, things like that. Wasted 2 hours with that woman when I was at the club, feeling good. And in the end of the night, she told me, hey, by the way, I have a boyfriend.
Oh,
I felt like crap after coming down. If I would have gone direct and say, look, I find you fine, I find you good looking, and I would like to get to know you, as soon as she would have said boyfriend, I would have been gone. That's the difference. It's the little thing that you feel like crap. And for the after 2 hours, I looked at it. That was not cool. But it was. I didn't blame her. I blamed me because I let my fear control me. I let my fear say, "Oh, she looks cute. She looks beautiful. Let me be indirect." Even though I knew I could be mold one, I didn't want to go there because I let my fear. And that's the problem a lot of us guys do. Compared to we go indirect because I go indirect because I let my fear control me. But to tell you the truth, if I have the difference between direct, when I go direct, even when I feel rejected, I don't feel that burn or that bitterness. I feel like, okay, you don't want me, see you.
That's exactly right.
And that's the thing that, as a man for me, makes me feel bad is when I wasted my time, either 2 hours, either different calls, either all the things, I don't want to have that feeling. And when you do direct, you don't have that feeling. You feel like I'm in control of my love life. I find you attractive. And I'm not going to waste my time with a woman that I'm going to go in 10 days, have no sex, 3 days, have no sex, have no kissing. You feel like you're telling to the woman, this is who I am. Either accept it or you don't. And like I have to say, like Sasha, indirect is bullshit. It is. It's a thing we use when we're scared, a lot of guys. When we're scared because we're like, saying, oh, I'm intimidated because she's beautiful. Oh, I'm intimidated because she looks sophisticated because she's a lawyer. If all guys were brought up to be direct like you say, a lot of guys would be more happy in life, in relationships.
Good feedback, brother. Good feedback.
Great job, brother.
Liberal, you said a lot of, as you know, if I think you've read my book, Moa. You speaking a lot of my language, because, see, that's what made me ultimately transition from Mode 2 and Mode 3 to Mode 1 is because I noticed when I would be Mode 2 with women and engage, like you said, in a high degree of small talk, in the instances where, say, I did end up getting some pussy, I wouldn't feel too bad about it, even though sometimes even when I got the pussy, I'd feel bad about it. But definitely when I didn't get the pussy, man, I would feel so... So fr- frustrating it's been, not only in the instances, say, where I talked to a woman for an hour and a half, 2 hours, 3 hours, but for me, I'm talking about even if I wasted like 20 to 30 minutes talking to a woman, only for at the end of the conversation say, oh, I'm already married, or, oh, I'm already got a boyfriend, or just simply, oh, I'm not interested. I would feel like, fuck, I just wasted 15, 20, 25 minutes talking to this woman for nothing. Yeah. And that shit, man, would piss me off. And like you said, man, when you direct, when I get rejected, when I'm direct, man, I can honestly, sincerely say it never bothers me. It might sting for a few seconds if I'm really, really attracted to the woman. It might sting for a few seconds. But as far as it stinging for, say, more than an hour or so or more than a day or so, never, never. I've never. Whereas when I invest a lot of time and even more so time and money in pursuing a woman and then I get rejected, that's when I just feel bitter, man. I feel like, but like, I'm glad you made the most important point. I've had a lot of friends in that situation that tempted to point the finger at the woman and say, oh, that bitch wasted my time. No, ultimately, it's your fault because you gave in to fear.
Yeah.
You gave in to your insecurities and you allowed her to waste your motherfucker. Oh, that brings me to my little audio clip. You know I love, all my listeners know I love. Where's my Al Pacino, don't waste my motherfucking, oh, here you go.
Today, you're wasting my motherfucking time.
Don't waste my motherfucking time!
I love that clip. Yeah, man, don't waste my motherfucking time. Oh, man, but yeah, man, you broke some shit down, liberal, so I appreciate you calling in. Let me get a nice mode one from you.
Mode one.
Mode one.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
Good love front. Straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one.
I see somebody named JJ in my phone queue. You're now upfront and straightforward, Alan Roger Curry. What's your comments related to this discussion?
Alan, I'm in your chat room. It's Jason from Australia.
Jason from Australia. What's happening, yeah. Jason from Australia?
Not much, man. Just I've called you up a number of times before on your show, and I called up several months ago when you had Sasha on the show before, and I think it was just before he was coming to the dating summit in Melbourne, but unfortunately I didn't get to go. But let me just say, years ago, I read The Game. I started with the mystery, the magic tricks, the bullshit, the crap. Yeah, I'm telling you, everyone that's listening to this show, Alan, you guys, you, Sasha, you know, even David X, you know, you guys just really have got it nailed down to the ground because, you know, as I said, indirect is for two people, pussies and gays men, and I ain't a pussy and I ain't gay men. So, you know, you guys are the best men, I'm telling you. And the podcast you had last week with Justin Wayne and the guys that called in, now, I'm not going to slam that Michael guy that called in because, you know, I think I've been there a little bit from where he has been. And what I mean by that is, you know, when I was doing all this bullshit, this pussy indirect, you know, I'd come home and I'm fucking got magic tricks and I've got I'm taking these things out to the clubs and bloody performing magic tricks on these women, you know. And I came home and the next day I'd wake up in the morning and I wouldn't say I was depressed or anything, but I would say that, you know, I just wasn't feeling like my normal self because I knew I was full of shit and I knew I was lying to people. But women also are playing games, Alan, and I agree with, I think it was not Malarko that called up, but it was Mr. Smooth or Mr. Sensation. And women are playing games. They don't approach men. Men are doing all the work. So women cannot complain. And I'm upfront and straightforward. I don't believe in bullshit, but I can understand why men are bullshitting to women because, you know, they don't want to go direct. They don't want to be upfront and straightforward. And don't get me wrong, I think it's a numbers game. I've approached women 2 weeks ago and I got shut down twice in one day. And yeah, I walked away and I felt, you know, a little bit, you know, not down, I won't say, but I felt, you know, like I, you know, could have done a better job. But hey, you know, go on to the next one. As they say, who gives a shit? You know, not every man is a woman's going to be attracted to me. So just keep on going about your day and keep on pushing forward and keep on doing your thing. But I just want to say, man, you guys are the best. This mystery and this other bullshit, get away from that and listen to Sasha, listen to Alan, and all you guys, because you guys know where it's. And the first time in my life, Alan, I feel like, you know, I'm truly myself. And if somebody doesn't like you for who you are, fuck them, move on to the next person. Don't waste your time. So I just want to, you know, say thanks, and you guys are the best. So.
Oh, man, I appreciate you calling in, man. You got to give me an enthusiastic mode one.
All right, go for the best one. Mode one, baby! Woo!
Alan Roger Curry.
Mode one. Good love front, straightforward.
Mode one. Alan Roger Curry.
From Australia for coming in, man. Everybody's giving such great feedback tonight, man. I'm really appreciating it. And other than Jason Australia in my chat room, I see Key Deluxe in my chat room. I see Stan 140574444, Smarten Up Mystical, LeBroy, my frat brother and hometown buddy, Crystal Dion, the one woman. Well, unless one of these guests might be women. I don't know if these guests are male or female. I got Jiggy 79. I got my cousin J-Rock. A number of guests. Balarco, my good buddy Balarco Balarge. You heard from him earlier. And Aaron 2213. I'm going to take another quick intermission break. But if you want to contribute an opinion, a comment, or question to this discussion, you can call 646-478. 5710 646 478 5710. I will be right back.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times best-selling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zay. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode One fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode One.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
Yeah. It's only 51%. Yeah.
There's more what?
Okay. There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mind sets is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that's, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
¶¶
listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book, and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, and he said, and you know what? I found my swagger, and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
We now return to my open forum discussion about the direct approach versus the indirect approach on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network. Welcome back to my next to last episode of the 2011-2012 season of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. This was my fifth season on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and it's been an interesting season. I've had some very interesting discussions. Very interesting discussions. I've had some contentious discussions this year. I've had some discussions that I had where I had a lot of listeners, and, you know, a couple of discussions where I had not that many listeners. But no, overall, 2011-2012 has been real cool. It's been real, real cool. If you're just tuning in tonight, what we're talking about is a discussion that gets debated on a lot of message boards. If you're a man, now if you're a woman, you probably won't be able to relate to this discussion. Or if you're a man and you're not familiar with what's known as the pickup artist industry or the seduction community, you might not be able to relate to this discussion. But if you're a single man and you're familiar with the attraction and seduction community, this is a debate that sometimes is, at minimum, has been entertaining on message boards and different podcast shows, and at maximum has been very heated, and that is the discussion of direct versus indirect. Direct versus indirect. Assuming that I'm talking to somebody who's totally ignorant to those terms, what does it mean to be approach a woman directly versus indirectly? Let's start with what we want. We'll start with what we want. All men want some pussy. That's step number one. That's fact number one. All men want some pussy. Unless, of course, you're a homosexual. Now, if you're a homosexual, then you want some dick. And I'm not saying that to be disparaging. I'm just speaking real talk. If you're homosexual, you want some dick. If you are a heterosexual, you want some pussy. Or as Jason from Australia just said in my chat room, you want your dick sucked. Yeah, it ain't always about pussy now. So that's good. That's good, Jason. You brought that up. Because I'll be honest, sometimes I want my dick sucked more than I want some pussy. I'm just going to keep it real. I tell women that all the time. See, sometimes I can go longer sometimes without pussy than I can without a good blowjob. So, yeah, I want my dick sucked. But anyway, we want sex. Men want sex. Now, we don't necessarily all want the same type of sex. I know some men who want sex in the form of a long-term monogamous relationship. Some men want sex in the form of a long-term non-monogamous relationship. Some men want sex in the form of a short-term monogamous relationship. And some men want sex in the form of a short-term non-monogamous relationship. So those are the four general types of sex that all men want at any given point in time. Long-term monogamous, long-term non-monogamous, short-term monogamous, and short-term non-monogamous. The question, so that's what we want from women. That's the whole reason why we approach women. The question becomes, how are you going to let a woman know that? That's the million-dollar question. How are you going to let a woman know that? Are you going to let her know in the first conversation, or are you going to try to wait till the second, third, fourth, or fifth conversation to let her know that you want sex from her? Are you going to let her know within the first 5, 10, or 15 minutes of the conversation, or are you going to try to wait till the last 5, 10, 15 minutes of the conversation? Are you going to let her know in an upfront, straight-to-the-point manner, or are you going to let her know in a more vague, ambiguous, beat-around-the-bush manner? That's where all the confusion and questioning comes in. It's not about, men are not confused about what they want from a woman. We all want some form of sexual companionship. We all want some form of sexual companionship. Again, it's all about, do you want long-term monogamous, long-term non-monogamous, short-term monogamous, or short-term non-monogamous? If you read my second book, which is titled the same thing as my show, Upfront and Straightforward, my second paperback called Upfront and Straightforward, Let the Manipulative Game Players Know What You're Really Thinking. Now, if you don't own that book, then feel glad that you're listening to this particular episode, because I'm going to give you some free content from that book. I'm going to give you some free content from my second paperback, Upfront and Straightforward. Here's the deal. I've been seeing in the chat room people asking me, why do men play games? Why do women play games? Why do both play games? I'm not going to go into full detail, but I'm going to break it down at least a little bit for the remaining, what, we got about 15 minutes left in the show. I'm going to break it down for you. Start on the male end. If you're a man, a single man, every woman you approach is going to fall under one of these four categories. Every woman you approach is going to fall under one of these four categories. Every woman you approach is either going to be a reciprocator, a rejecter, a pretender, or a time waster. One of those four. Every woman you approach is going to fall under one of those four categories. They're either going to be a reciprocator, a rejecter, a pretender, or a time waster. Let me give you a brief description of each one. The first two are kind of almost self-explanatory. A reciprocator is simply a woman that once you let her know what your desires, interests, and intentions are, she's going to let you know fairly quickly and fairly straightforwardly that she has the same desires, interests, and intentions. That's a reciprocator. A reciprocator is a woman that once you let her know what your desires and interests are, she's going to let you know that she has the same desires and interests. So if I approach a woman and tell her that I'm looking for a long-term relationship that will potentially lead to marriage, she's going to let me know that she's looking for the same thing. If I let her know that I just want a one-night stand or weekend fling, she's going to let me know that she's looking for the same thing. That is a reciprocator. That's a reciprocator. Whatever your interests are, her interests are going to be the same thing, and she's going to let you know that fairly quickly. That's category number one, reciprocator. Number two category of women that all men are going to approach, rejector. Rejector is pretty self-explanatory. That's a woman that once you let her know what your interests are, she's going to let you know that she is not interested in the same thing. So if you let her know, say, that you want a one-night stand, she's probably going to let you know that she wants a long-term monogamous relationship. Or if you let her know that you're looking for a long-term monogamous relationship, she's probably going to tell you she's looking for just something casual. Or she just might not be interested in you at all, regardless of what your interests are. You might not be her type. either physically or non-physically, you're not her type. That's a rejector. So I call those two the non-manipulative types. Those are the women that are not going to engage you in head games. If a woman's a reciprocator or a rejector, she's not trying to engage you in any type of misleading or manipulative head games. She's going to be straight up with you. Basically, either she's interested in you or she's not. Cut and dry, plain and simple. Now, the next two categories are the tricky ones, is the pretenders, and time wasters. Pretenders and the time wasters. A pretender is a woman that's going to initially, temporarily, or indefinitely pretend like she doesn't have the same interests as you, but in actuality, she does. She's going to initially pretend like she doesn't have the same interests as you, but in reality, she does. And you might ask, why would a woman do that? Why would a woman pretend not to be interested in you? I'll give you one simple reason. If your interest is casual sex, most women have been socially programmed and brainwashed to believe that casual sex makes them a bad girl, has the potential to make them perceived as a hoe or a slut. So no, very few women are going to immediately be enthusiastic and reciprocal to a proposition for casual sex because their attitude is, well, if I reciprocate that desire too quickly, he's going to just look at me as some type of hoe or slut. So they're going to play games with you. They're going to try to give you the impression that they are conservative prude. So that's one reason why women will be a pretender. Another reason is simply that they don't want to give you the egotistical satisfaction of knowing that they're interested in you. I've had a lot of women admit that to me. Sometimes when women meet you, they just literally do not want you to know too quickly that they're interested in you because they feel like that's going to make you get the big head or make you be too egotistical. So they're going to try to challenge you. They're going. I talk about three tests that most pretenders will give a man when they meet him. Again, this is free content from my second paperback book, so please appreciate this. I don't normally give free content on my book. You got to buy my book. Give you free content. But pretenders, they're going to give you three tests. Number one test, can you handle my criticisms and insults test? Can you handle my criticisms? Have you seen, if you go to mo1.net right now, there's a video that actually Sasha uploaded, who was on there earlier, Sasha uploaded it. It's called Women Will Try to Bait You. If you haven't seen that video, go to my site, mo1.net. That was when I was speaking at the Direct Dating Summit in London, and there's a portion from my presentation called Women Will Try to Bait You. And one of the ways that women will try to bait you is by throwing subjective criticisms and petty insults at you. Stuff like, you're an asshole, you're a jerk, you're full of yourself. God, you're a selfie, you're a sex fiend. You are so horny, you must be a sex addict. See, once you show a woman that you can't handle being criticized by her or can't handle being insulted by her, she's going to look at you as weak. The number one way to combat that is to basically have an attitude like, I don't give a fuck what you think of me. Pretenders are always going to test you with harsh criticisms and insults. I've had women criticize me and insult me at, say, 10 o'clock, and by 10:30, I had that same woman sucking my dick. Why? Some people say, damn, Alan, how were you able to do that, man? I saw this woman curse you out, and then 45 minutes later, man, you was fucking her. How did that happen, man? It's simple. Because that woman was giving me what's called a shit test. She was trying to see how much bullshit I could tolerate from her without becoming defensive or apologetic. See, once you become defensive or apologetic, that's when you fucked up. If a woman starts criticizing you and insulting you and you start saying, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be provocative with you. I didn't mean to use such bold language with you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use extra language. See, right now, right there, a woman knows you're a pussy. She knows you're a pussy. She knows you cannot handle any type of adverse criticism, any type of negative reaction. That makes you look weak in her eyes. So that's the number one test a woman's going to give you is, can you handle me harshly criticizing you or insulting you? Second test that a pretender will use on a man. Can you ignore me test? Can you ignore me test? I've had women that I was one with reject me, say, in mid-December, only to that following April or May or June end up turning around and giving me the pussy. And some guys who were close to me say, damn, how did that happen, man? I mean, when you met that woman, she blew you off, but now 3 months later or 5 months later or 6 months later, now she's giving you the pussy. Why did that happen? Because she was testing me. She was testing me to see if I would break down and be the first to contact her. Some women would do that. Again, it's not just my opinion. I've had women admit this to me that they do this. So all these tests I'm talking about, I didn't just pull out my ass. These are tests that women themselves have admitted that they do. But, yeah, women will try to test to see if you can ignore them. And so you ever call a woman, say, two or three times and she don't respond to your phone calls, she doesn't answer your phone calls? See, the worst thing you can do is keep calling a woman if she's not responding to your phone calls or keep writing a woman who's not responding to your emails. That makes you look like you're desperate, like you ain't got no other options. If a woman thinks that she is your only option for a romantic or sexual companionship, she's going to lose at least a little bit of respect for you. A man with options always has the power. A man with options, or at minimum, a man who appears to have options, who has that kind of cocky, indifferent attitude of a man who has options, always is going to have more power than when you appear to be desperate. I never call women multiple times if they don't return my call. I'll call a woman once. At most, I might call her twice. If I don't get a return call for my second phone call, she's history. That's it. I leave her alone. Same with emails. If I email a woman once and she don't return my email, I might, in some cases, give a second email. If I email a woman twice and I don't get a response, I leave her the fuck alone. That's the second test. How long can you ignore me test? Final test is, how quickly will you offer to wine and dine me and spend money on me? That's the third and final test that a pretender will use on a man. How quickly will you offer to wine and dine me and spend money on me? That's what I always tell men. Never be too quick to spend money on a woman. If a woman is your wife or your girlfriend, your living partner, then that's different. You can wine and dine that woman all day, every day, all weekend, don't matter. She deserves to be wine and dine. You showing your appreciation for her. So I don't have any criticisms of somebody who's whining and dining someone that they're already in a relationship with, that it's established that you are into her and she's into you. That's when whining and dining is okay. But when you're just meeting a woman, you're not even sure she's even attracted to you, you're not even sure she wants to give you some pussy, you should not be fucking whining and dining a woman in that category. You should never, ever, ever be quick to offer to wine and dine a woman that has not given you a definite sign that she's interested in dating you and fucking you. I don't do that shit. Nah, man, I guarantee if you do that shit on a regular basis, you are going to end up feeling angry, frustrated, and bitter. I guarantee you. Do not do that shit. Don't fall for it if they try to call you a cheap ass or something like that. Fuck that shit. If a woman either hasn't fucked you yet or at minimum hasn't given you a definite sign that she wants to fuck you, do not spend no big money on no bag. I mean, if you want to spend like, say, $15, $20 at a coffee shop or something like that, yeah, maybe go ahead. But other than that, you should not be doing no whining and dining with no bag. So anyway, going back to my three categories, I've talked about reciprocator, rejector. Now I'm on pretenders. Pretenders will issue those three tests to see what you're about. If you fail those tests, you ain't getting no pussy. Any of those three tests, if you fail those tests, you ain't getting no pussy. I'm telling you right now, 95 to 99% chance you ain't getting no pussy. Then the final category, and this is probably two-thirds to three-fourths of the reason why I'm direct versus indirect, is for this category by itself. time wasters. I had a woman literally, and I'm not joking, just today, I was talking to this woman from Facebook, and she said, I was telling her about the four categories, and she started laughing when I got to time waster, and I said, why are you laughing so hard? She said, well, I'm going to confess, Alan. She said, that's me to the T. She said, that's me to the T. She said, I will confess. She said, I'm a major time waster. What is a time waster? Well, in the same way a pretender is a woman who will initially act like she's not interested in you, but in actuality she is, a time waster is just the opposite. A time waster is a woman who will initially, temporarily, or indefinitely act like she is interested in you, but deep down, she's not. She is not interested in you. She will give you the impression she is, but she is not interested in you. I'm going to tell you a little secret. I talked about this in an article I wrote recently. A lot of men, and particularly indirect men, see, here's one difference between direct and indirect. Indirect men, they're most afraid of two things, rejection and harsh criticisms and negative reactions. That's the two things they're afraid of, rejection and harsh criticism / negative reactions. That's a mistake. You should actually be thankful when women reject you. You really should. I know that sounds crazy to some guys, but realistically, in the long run, I had to learn this through a lot of tough lessons, a lot of experiences, but I'm going to tell you right now, and as you get older, you will realize this. The women who reject you in a very upfront, straightforward manner, those are women that you should actually appreciate. They're doing you a favor. The women you really need to be watching out for is the time wasters, not the rejectors, the time wasters. Because here's a little secret. Most women, and specifically manipulative type women do not want to reject you. This is what you need to remember moving forward. Manipulative women do not want to reject you. They do not. Why? You might say, why would a manipulative woman not want to reject me? Because here's how manipulative women think. And I'll give you a perfect example. I had a woman that I met from Vegas early this year, black, really attractive black woman. Her name was Janice. And I was talking about the four categories with her. And she ended up saying that she's been in all four of those categories. She said she's been a rejecter with men. She's been a reciprocator with men. She's been a rejecter with men. She's been a pretender. And she's been a time waster. And I said, interesting. I said, okay, under what situations have you been each of those with men? This is what she said, this woman named Janice. She said, I tend to be a reciprocator when I meet a man that simply I'm interested in the same thing he is. So if I meet a man and he's interested in a long-term monogamous relationship and I'm interested in a long-term monogamous relationship, I'm immediately reciprocate his interest. If I meet a man and he's interested in casual sex and I'm interested in casual sex with him, I'm going to be a reciprocator. She said, plain and simple. She said, rejector is when she meets a man that she feels is a combination of a boring personality and no money. This is her words. She said, that's when I would just flat out reject a guy. She said, if I know I'm not attracted to a guy physically, I'm not attracted to him personality-wise, and on top of both of those, he ain't got no money, she said, that's when he's just going to get flat out rejected. She said, pretender? She said, she tends to be a pretender when she meets a guy who is interested in casual sex with her, but she's interested in a long-term relationship with him. That's when she says she tends to be a pretender. When she meets a guy that only wants casual sex from her, but she wants something more profound, more long-term, more monogamous, she says she will be a pretender. She'll play those games. But then at some point, she ends up giving the guy the pussy. And then the most important category, the category I'm on right now, is time waster. She said this is when she tends to be a time waster, is when she meets a guy who she knows deep down she doesn't really want to date, she doesn't really want to have sex with, but she wants that guy to entertain her on a regular or semi-regular basis. She wants that guy to flatter her on a regular or semi-regular basis. She wants that guy to spend money on her, do financial and non-financial favors for her on a regular or semi-regular basis. Or at minimum, and you've heard me talk about this guy, she wants a guy to be an empathetic listening ear. If there's one type of guy you've always heard me criticize, is when you allow yourself to become a woman's empathetic listening ear. What do I mean by that? Is, have you ever had a woman call you on the phone or want to hang out with you in person so she could talk to you about her disappointments and frustrations with other men? See, that's a fucking, she's putting you in a position where you're becoming her empathetic listening ear. You don't ever want to allow yourself to be in that position. Ever. 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 Trust me on that. And a lot of guys do. A lot of guys, they will allow themselves, you know, woman be on the phone with you talking about, yeah, this guy named Larry, you know, he always, every time I tell him, don't come in my mouth, he always comes in my mouth, and, you know, he makes me so mad. I tell him, I mean, I don't mind sucking his dick, but, you know, he always keeps coming in my mouth when I tell him not to. Why would you want to listen to a woman talking about sucking another motherfucker's dick? Seriously. I mean, seriously. Why would you ever want to sit on the phone or be at a lunch table with a woman and she's talking about sucking another motherfucker's dick? I know men who've done that. What I just demonstrated, that was not just a joke or exaggeration. I've had men confess to me that they've allowed women to talk to them about other men who they were fucking, who they were sucking their dick, whatever else. Man, don't ever, ever, if you don't take no other advice from me, don't ever allow yourself to become a woman's regular or semi-regular empathetic listening ear. You might think you're earning brownie points with that woman, but that woman has no respect for you. You are her bitch. You are her bitch. If you're listening to a woman complain about other men, her name is Tanya, just tell yourself, I'm Tanya's bitch. If her name is Michelle, say, I'm Michelle's bitch. That's what you are. You're her bitch. You're her emotional tampon. Don't ever let women talk to you about how another man that they're fucking or recently stopped fucking is mistreating them. Fuck that shit. That's the one time when your asshole side needs to come out. If there's one time I tell men your asshole, your inner asshole side needs to come out, is when a woman is likes to talk to you about her frustration with other men that she's fucking. That's when you need to look her dead in the eye and say, bitch, do I really look like I give a fuck about other men you fucking? Really? Do I look like I give a fuck about other, you talking about other men that you sucked that dick or you just recently fucked? Women will try to use you as a male girlfriend. That's one of the number one motivations behind time wasters. That's why a lot of time waster type women, they don't want to reject you. Time wasters, they don't want to reject you because they want to use you for one of those four reasons that I listed. The four reasons, again, are they either want to use you as somebody to boost their ego and flatter them on a regular or semi-regular basis. They want to use you as someone to entertain them when they're bored or dejected about something. They want to use you for both financial and non-financial favors as kind of an informal sugar daddy or not necessarily financial favors. It could be something like I had one woman tell me she had a bunch of male platonic friends to do stuff like fix stuff around her house, like her vacuum cleaner, or they fix a car, or shit like that. They pick up her cleaners. See, non-financial favors, you know. And then the final one, again, is the empathetic listening ear. I'd say out of the four, that's the worst. That's the worst. You do not want to be no woman's empathetic listening ear. Fuck that shit. And that's what where I, when I think about time wasters, that's when I most am motivated to be direct with women. That's when when I'm most motivated to be direct with women. Because I'm going to tell you honestly, indirect does not help you identify time wasters. People can argue that they have different ways of identifying, but I guarantee you, if your methods and tactics for approaching women and conversing with women are indirect, that's when you're going to have a very hard time identifying time wasters. Because a lot of indirect guys, they think if they talk to a woman for an hour and they have her smiling and laughing at their jokes and all that shit, that that means they're progressing, that that means that they're earning brownie points. No, you're not. No, you're not. That's bullshit. Now, with a time waster will laugh at all your motherfucking jokes because that's what they want you to do. They want you to be that dancing monkey. They want you to entertain them. You ain't getting nowhere because you got a woman laughing and smiling, laughing at all your jokes for an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. A lot of men think, yeah, man, I scored with this woman. Man, I had her in conversation for like an hour and a half, and she was smiling, and she was laughing at all my jokes. That don't mean shit. That don't mean shit with a time waster. Time waster, that's what they want to do. I know married women that will sit down and have a two-hour conversation with you if you make them laugh, but they ain't going to give you no pussy. Shit, there are lesbians that will sit down with you for an hour, hour and a half and let you make them laugh, but they ain't going to suck your dick and give you no pussy. Believe that shit. So indirect is bullshit, man. Indirect is bullshit. Hey, Alan, any exercises or things we can practice to help with our fear of rejection? See, now that's when you gotta. My businessman side got to come out. I can work with you through a consultation or one-on-one coaching. I ain't gonna give away all my secrets, you know. But contact me through email. We can talk about overcoming your fear of rejection because I do that on a one-on-one basis. But yeah, so those are the four groups of women you're generally going to run across. Again, is reciprocators, rejectors, pretenders, and time wasters. The first three should never be a problem for you. Reciprocators, that's the easiest women to deal with. You tell them your interest, they're going to tell you they're interested in the same thing. That's easy. Rejectors, yeah, it might sting your ego to be rejected by a woman. But again, trust me, in the long run, you're going to learn come to appreciate rejectors. I love rejectors. I really do. I'm not saying that just to, you know, be funny or whatever. I love women who if a woman's genuinely not interested in me, I want her to reject me. I want her to reject me. Pretenders, yeah, they can be annoying at times because they try to engage you in manipulative head games. But if you're truly mole one, you're going to overcome a pretender. So then, in the long run, they're not really a problem. But time wasters, man, I'm telling you, man, those are the women that will leave you feeling bitter. That's when you end up becoming potentially a misogynist, which is a hater of women, is when you deal with. Because I ain't going to lie, man, I've had some time wasters in my life that left me feeling very, very bitter. Very bitter. And, you know, ultimately I had to realize that it was my own fault. I mean, your temptation is to put the finger on them. But really, it's your own fault when you deal with a time waster because you're being indirect. When you're being direct, you're never going to have problems from a time waster. I tell you that. When you're mode one and direct, time wasters will not be able to fuck with you. But when you're indirect, when you're being real vague and ambiguous with your interests, or you're being dishonest or disingenuous with your interests, that's when time wasters will be able to fuck with you. Area code 301, you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. Who's this?
Yeah, what's up?
What's up? Who's this?
This is Melinda.
This is who?
Melinda.
Malaysia?
Melinda.
Melinda. Hey, Melinda. How you doing, Melinda?
I was listening to your show, and okay. I was like, how does this work for females? Because it's vice versa. I had some interesting, scenarios with males themselves. And particularly, I don't know, I think the rejectors are gay, or the ones that time wasters are either gay in the closet. Like, come on now. And the Playboy, I get these dudes that really are not really interested in me. They just want to mess with me because they bored. I call them they bored and got nothing to do with themselves. And men like that always got to be busy or doing something with themselves, and that could hurt them in the long run. Because, and I learned this the hard way too, just being young, and you feel like you got to be active and doing something and always in somebody's face. So one of these days, men like them are going to run into something that's going to be a problem. And they're going to be able to get themselves out of it. But anyway, how does this work for females? See, be an African-American, with the propaganda that goes on out here with the media and all these young black individuals feeding into it, and they all, everybody wants something somebody else got, and they really not paying attention to what they need. Now, men like to waste your time, reject you. Like you said before, all this big of the drama and the bullcrap. I don't chase men. I don't chase men. I don't do it. It's just it wouldn't even be my flavor, my style, me out of character, out of pocket. But the men that do get in my face, it seems like after we get talking, they don't find the conversation or the relationship or whatever is interesting anymore. I find them time wasters, and the ones that I really do want, the nonchalant ones, the ones that's going to reject me anyway because they so followers, they wrapped up in the media, and they want what everybody else wants. And they really, you know, they really don't want what they need. They want what everybody else has. And that's the problem with men today. Like, they'll see something on the television, like Kim Kardashian, and everybody want to go chase after a Kim Kardashian now. And they have dumped the ones that they got that they've been with for 10 years or more just to get a Kardashian chick.
Okay.
And I'm
That was your comment?
Yeah, it works for, like, it's in the same situation as a female, too, because, like.
Okay, what's your specific, do you have a specific question, or you just kind of wanted to rant a little bit?
Well, besides the point of ranting, I want to know, why does this happen to females, too? Why does it happen to men who like to waste time? And also, like.
Well, you know,
it's
funny you ask. I do in my book, the same paperback, Upfront and Straightforward, Let the Manipulative Game Players Know What You're Really Thinking. I actually do talk about time wasters from both the male and female perspective. Now, the one category that really doesn't apply to men of the four I mentioned is pretenders. I say in my book, you ain't going to never meet a male pretender. Because the main reason why is because we're just not socialized like you guys. Like, a man is not afraid of being called a hoe or a slut or anything like that. So, therefore, you'll never meet a man that's going to pretend like he's not interested in casual sex when he really is. So that's the one group that's specifically women. But as far as reciprocators, rejectors, and time wasters, yeah, that applies to men as well. The main version of a male time waster would be a man who gives you the impression that, say, he knows you're interested in a long-term monogamous relationship, so he gives you the impression that he is too. But realistically, he's just interested in casual sex.
Mm-hmm. And once
that would
get
be
it,
a male time
his ass. But I'm gonna put myself on blast right now because I learned this growing up because I had to learn really fast, like you said, that men are time wasters and they give you the illusion that they want a long term relationship. So when they in the bathroom, I go right through that motherfucking jeans pocket, find out the address, last name, social security number. You want to dump me? I come up to your motherfucking job. Anyway.
Damn. So you a stalker woman.
No,
you mean
I'm just a revenge. I'm vengeful. Like, come on now.
So
I,
you
I,
would
I mean,
slash his tires and shit.
Nah, I would actually go to his job, tell him I'm 9 months, 5 months pregnant.
Oh, wow. Damn, that's fucked up. That's
I would ruin his life, just like he ruined mine. Don't play with me like that. He's trying
well,
to
you
kick
know,
me.
You do bring up a good point. Now, I don't endorse any woman doing what you're talking about doing, which is, you know, engaging in vengeful acts. But at the same time, I do tell men, I say you should never blatantly mislead women or lie to women because karma has a bad way of coming back. Like I talked about on the previous episode, I know at least one, if not two guys that were either like friends of friends or friends of acquaintances. I know guys who got shot, literally killed, because they played with a woman's emotions.
Mm-hmm.
So I tell men all the time, I say, if you want to do that indirect shit and be lying to women and leading them on and stringing them along, You're taking a big risk because women, nobody likes to have their emotions played with or toyed with. And that's one thing I can say I never do. I do not toy with women. If I know I just want casual sex from a woman, I straight up tell her that. You know, I've never been a guy who tell a woman or give a woman impression I want something long term when I know I just want casual sex. I tell women straight up, I just want to fuck you. Then it's their choice. Either they down for it or they not. You know, if I just want my dick sucked, I tell a woman, I say, hey, I don't even want to fuck you. I just want my dick sucked.
What?
And they'll say stuff like, oh, my God, I don't believe you said that. You're so crazy. But I'll be serious. I want my dick sucked. Like, Melinda, you suck dick, right?
No, actually, I don't.
You don't suck dick?
Nope.
Why don't you suck dick?
Because men don't deserve it.
Men don't deserve to have a dick. Why don't men deserve to have their dick sucked?
Because like I told you before, they time wasters. All they want to do is have
what
sex.
If a genuine guy, what if a guy is genuine? Does he deserve to have his dick sucked?
I have never met a genuine guy in my life. I have.
Are you talking to a genuine motherfucker? So that means
I
deserve to have my dick sucked, right?
I'm never going to see you in person, ever.
I'm a genuine motherfucker. Where you live at?
In Texas.
You live in Texas?
Yeah.
Okay, Melinda, I want to meet you in Texas, and I want to fuck your mouth like there's no tomorrow. And as I'm fucking your mouth, I want you to look up at me and say, damn, he is so genuine. Because, see, I'm telling you right now, am I bullshitting you right now? I'm not bullshitting you. I'm not telling you I want to put a ring on your finger. I'm telling you I want to come to Texas, and I want to have you on your knees. I want to fuck your mouth. I want to shoot my cum in your mouth.
Ew.
And then I treat you to some Hooters chicken wings and peach snapple. How's that?
That's a damn sad shame.
Huh?
I said that's a sad shame.
Why is that a sad shame? Was I not just now genuine with you? Can you say on the radio right now that I wasn't genuine?
I can tell you one thing.
And see, I can bullshit you and act like I want a serious relationship with you and I want you to be my next girlfriend. And who knows? I might meet you and you might show me some qualities that would make me want to date you. I can't totally outrule that. I don't know you. I haven't met you. But I'm saying right now, during this phone conversation, I'm saying all I would want to do is fuck your mouth, shoot my cum in your mouth, and I'm real about that. Say, Alan, I give you kudos for being real about that.
Alan, one of these days.
One of these days, I'll suck your dick.
And it's crazy because your name do sound like the lady.
Go ahead and say that. Say, Alan, one of these days.
Unfortunately,
I'll suck
no,
your dick.
No. That would be inappropriate.
What would be inappropriate about you sucking my dick?
Just the whole thing, the whole thought of it.
Now, see, you said the reason why men don't deserve to get their dick sucked was because they were not genuine. I'm telling you, I'm a raw, real, upfront, bold, straightforward, real, genuine motherfucker that wants to put my dick in your mouth, fuck your mouth, and cum in your mouth. Say, Alan, that's real genuine. Say that for me. Come on, Melinda. Look, she got scared. Fellas, she got scared. Was I or was I not being genuine? Huh? Was I or was I not being genuine? And see, shit. Hey, I ain't no shame in my game. Ain't no shame in my game. Shit. Anyway, I'm going to start to wrap this conversation up because it went a little longer than I wanted it to. But, I scared off little poor Melinda. But see how you can expose a woman for being full of shit? What did she say? She said, I don't want to suck guys' dicks because they always lying. They never genuine. They full of shit. I told her straight up that I only wanted to meet her so I could fuck her mouth and cover her mouth. And she said that's inappropriate. See, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't play both ends from the middle. You, anybody who knows about my show know I ain't going to allow that. You can't be full of shit on my show. Don't tell me that you want real men. A man to be real and honest, but then when a man's real and honest, you can't handle it. What's that about? And see, that's how a lot of women I deal with in life, you know? They get frustrated because I call them out like that, but shit. I talk about that in at least one of my books, like my most recent book, Say It Again. Ooh, Say It Again, I talk about that. A lot of women will say, oh, I want a man to be honest. I want a man not to lie to me. But then with a lot of women, not all women, but with a lot of women, when you're straightforward and honest, they can't handle it. She couldn't, as that saying goes from A Few Good Men, when Jack Nicholson said, you can't handle the truth, she can't handle the truth. She couldn't handle the truth. She was calling men time wasters and bullshitters. I told this woman straight up that I just want her to suck my dick. And I've literally done that. For those of you who think I wouldn't do that, I've done that in life. I've literally been at parties and told women, I'll say, hey, I don't want to date you. I don't even want to fuck you. I just want you to suck my dick. And there have been a percentage of time I've gotten my dick sucked that way. I mean, I've gotten my share of rejections, no doubt. But I've had some women that basically were like, okay. You know, or some women, they'll give me a little shit first, like a pretender. They'll give me some shit first, but they'll end up sucking my dick. But, yeah, I've told women, I've had women that was their designated responsibility. I told them up front, I said, you ain't getting no dick in your pussy. I'm not fucking you, but I will let you suck my dick. So there you go. I'm gearing to wrap up, but I think Jason, you said you wanted to add something real quick.
Alan. First off, let me just say, this woman Melinda. First off, she needs some good dick. We've established that. But this is why she won't do anything to meet guys, yet complains when she's not meeting guys. But yet they're all apparently these bad, evil, ogre individuals. So what is she doing to find the you were just being upfront with her and she couldn't handle it. So this is the thing for all the guys out there. If you meet a woman like Melinda, get the fuck out of there. Move on. Go on to the next woman, because, she's not going to be what you're after. So, I guess the question, for Melinda is, and if she wants to call back in, is what's she doing to find a man, Alan? Is she approaching men? Men are being upfront and straightforward with her, but it seems like she doesn't like sex and she doesn't like sucking dick, as you said. So, hey, call in, Melinda. We'd love to hear from you.
Jason, you know this as well as I do, because me and you were joking about it in chat room. You said, about getting my dick sucked.
Yep.
Number one, I would say I ain't never met a man and didn't like getting his dick sucked. That applies to if you heterosexual, bisexual, or homosexual. If you're a man, you want to get your dick sucked. And I think a lot of us men are similar to myself. Now, Jason, I'm sure you've probably met at least a handful of women that you didn't want to date them. You might not even want to fuck them, but you would have let them suck your dick. Am I correct?
Absolutely, 100%. And the funny thing is, Alan, this is what women need to understand. I'd probably have sex with, within reason, 85, 90% of women. But if I'm 31 years old now. If I'm going to date a woman, long-term, monogamous relationship, marriage, kids, man, that's going to be 1 or 2%, Alan, of 100%. Maybe it's 97.5321%. That's all I'm going to – and 90% of the women I'm going to have sex with. And if I meet them in the street – And I'm up front and straightforward with them and say, listen, hey, I think you're really cute. Here's my number. Let's go out tonight. Give me a call. That's how I normally approach people. I make it as less stressful as possible. Hey, this is my number. If you're interested, give me a call. I've had girls in like 20 minutes after I've given them my number. They're texting me on the cell phone saying, hey, that was really nice of you to do that. So, you know what I mean? We will have sex with 90% of the women, but remember, we don't want to marry 90% of the women. This is what women need to understand. And if they're a little different, then put it this way, Melinda is going to be in the 0% I'm going to marry. I'd never even consider dating her. And then when she said, come down to Texas or whatever, and she's, she's going to, turn up at a guy's work. Shit, we don't need that sort of shit, You leave her the hell alone, guys,
Yeah, do you have my book saying again?
I haven't got it yet, Alan. No, I've read your other ones, though, and I'm very, very impressed. That's why I've been following you from Australia for a long time.
Because that's funny that you mentioned that specific percentage you use, because I actually quote a guy. There was a guy who was a Facebook friend of mine. I don't think I know him in real life, but he wrote on Facebook one day, he said, 97.5% of the women I meet I just want to fuck.
That's
he said
right.
Only about maybe 2.5 to 3% of the women I meet do I consider to be girlfriend material or future wife material. He said, all the rest of the women I meet, I just want to fuck. And, man, he has so – you know how you can – on Facebook, you can click like. Man, he has so many likes from men, it wasn't even funny. And a lot of women, you know, they were frowning on that, and they were like, you know, is that an all-men thing? I tell women all the time, and as you said, you tell women, I say, listen, you got to – the first reality you got to understand about men is that for every 10 women we meet, there's only a small percentage of those women that we look at as girlfriend, long-term girlfriend, or potential wife material. I said no less than 5 out of those 10 women we just want to fuck. For some guys, the percentage is as high as 97.5. I said minimum, though, for any guy, it's going to be 50%, because in some women out here who are the naive types, delusional types, they think that all men out here are looking at all 10 women as relationship material, and I have to tell women that is just not true. That is the furthest thing from true. Like I said, not only would I say there's some women I meet that I don't want to date, there's some women I meet I don't even want to fuck. I just want them to either suck my dick or give me a hand job.
Hey, Alan, that's what I'd say. That's when some people, as you would say, that's some bullshit, you know? That's some bullshit. That's true, man, you know? But what they need to understand is that we don't all, you know, want to, you know, I've been out with a lot of girls in the last probably 6 months, probably maybe about, you know, probably 12 to 15, and, you know, none of them turned out to be that, you know, I wanted to be in a relationship with them. Two, I just wanted them to suck my dick. That's it, and they did. And then we all went on our merry way, and everybody was happy. But then, you know, one of them was, as like Melinda, is a little bit crazy. I mean, she's probably got, she, you know, and the thing is with Melinda, she's probably been hurt before, Alan. This is the thing. Guys have screwed her over. They've told her bullshit, right? And then no guy has been upfront and straightforward with her. Now she's screwed up in the head because guys have told her all this bullshit. They've probably got her in bed. And then now all guys are now paying for the previous guy's mistakes now. And she doesn't trust any guys. And until she starts learning to trust a guy that's upfront and straightforward, and this is where she should have been respecting you for at least being upfront and straightforward. If she didn't like it, if she didn't like it, she should have just said, she can go on her way. I mean, I can walk up to a girl and say, hey, listen, I just saw you walking past. I think you're really attractive. I had to stop you and say, hi, I'm Jason. And she says, you know, I said, what's your name? And then if I say, listen, I think you're really attractive, if she's not interested in reciprocating my needs, or she looks like she's on edge, or she's not laughing or saying, oh, thank you, that was really nice of you to say, then I'm not interested in her, Alan. You know, if she probably has a bad personality and she doesn't want to talk, she might not want to go out and do things, she might sit at home and do nothing, I don't know. But if they don't have that good personality and at least reciprocate, even if they're not interested in me, if they have a laugh and say, oh, I really appreciate you, Jason, for coming up to me, that was really nice, I can walk away with my head held high. Even if she did have a boyfriend and feel good about myself, and because that's happened before, Alan. I walked up to this girl and she had a boyfriend, and I said she walked out of an elevator or a lift, whatever you want to call it, over there. And I just saw her, and it was just an instinctual thing. I just said, "Wow, that is a beautiful dress you had on." And then she stopped and spoke to me, and I said, "I'm Jason." And then she actually said to me, Alan, I said, "Can I have your number?" And she said, "Listen, I really appreciate what you've said. I'm really, really flattered. And you know what? I've got a boyfriend. But if I didn't have a boyfriend," she goes, "I'd give you my number in a heartbeat." And I walked away, Alan, with my head held high, knowing that, wow, you know, she had a boyfriend, but she was also very happy with what I said. And I walked away even knowing she had a boyfriend and I didn't get the number. And, you know, I'm a winner. At the end of the day, that's a win, guys. That is a win. Even if you don't get the girl, that's a win to walk away with your head held high.
Exactly. And I'm going to end this show right on that point. I appreciate you, Jason.
Thank
you,
Alan.
For all the feedback you provided tonight. Thank you for calling in. And
thanks to Melinda as well, Alan.
Huh?
I said thanks to Melinda as well, Alan, for calling in.
Thanks to Melinda. Hey, it's funny. Again, I'm going to close up, but the one touch on Melinda once again, and women like her, this is what I don't get about and Belarco, in 1 second, I'm gonna get you to say Mo. But no, it's funny, and I really harsh criticism on women like this. I can't stand when a woman will spend all these minutes in conversation with me talking about how much she hates when men lie to her and play games with her. But then I'll ask those women, I'll say, okay, well, what if a man just comes up to you and tells you that all he wants to do is fuck you doggy style for one or two nights, or all he wants to do is have you suck his dick? Oh, I think that would be crass, and I think that would be socially inappropriate, and he shouldn't be talking to me that way. Is it not the truth, though? I always ask women, I say, but regardless of whether you think it might be socially inappropriate or crass, would a man just make up that shit? Can't you, you would have to acknowledge that whatever he said, even if it's X-rated or, as you call it, crass, isn't it the truth? Well, yeah, but what? But what? You can't have it both ways. You can't tell men you don't want them lying to you, but then when they tell you the truth, you tell them that they're crass or inappropriate and all that shit. That's being what I call full of shit. Simple, plain and simple. Yeah, that's a contradiction. You're being full of shit. I tell women at any given point in time, you either want raw, real, upfront, straightforward honesty, or you want pleasant bullshit. It ain't no in between. You either want one of those two at any given moment in time as a woman. You either want real, raw, upfront, straightforward honesty, or you want bullshit that's pleasant to your ears. End of story. And I'm going to wrap it up with my good friend Belarco giving me his best rendition of Mo One.
I'm going to say it in my dirty dog voice.
Okay.
Mo
One.
Alan Roger Curry.
Mo One.
Good love front, straight forward.
Mo One.
Alan Roger Curry.
No one.
Fellas, I've enjoyed this episode. I've enjoyed sharing some of my thoughts, my philosophies. Much props to Sasha Daygame for dropping in and breaking down some shit and dropping some major knowledge on my listeners. Next week, next Thursday, will be my absolute last show of the 2011-2012 season. 90% chance we're going to be talking about E.L. James' book, 50 Shades of Grey, but that could change. If it does change, I will keep you posted. Until then, if you live in a city where it's real hot, stay cool. And if it's already cool, hey, be thankful. Have a safe and enjoyable weekend. I'll talk to you next Thursday.